For the latest news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring the Boston Bastion Brigade, visit our website at www.b3crew.com.
Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/BostonBastionBrigade. Follow us on Twitter under our respective pen names.
And don't forget to check out the rest of the Land of Esh programming, including the Electric Sisterhood, Geek Aggro, and the Issues program.
When the sisters are away, the bastards will play. It's time for the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Episode 179, Duct Tape Heals All Wounds.
Bastards and wenches, please rise for the Boston National Anthem.
For Boston, for Boston, risk our hundred men. For Boston, take wenches and wenches. And ever with a right shot as big bombs and touch me no more in the working shop. For Boston, for Boston, our glory is over.
Bastards and wenches, you may be seated, and welcome to another episode of the Boston Bastard Brigade. I'm King Baby Duck.
Blue Onyx.
And we have two special guests joining us this week. First of all, you know him, you love him. He is the king of all drunk gamers, the DCD.
Oh, God, I wish I was drunk now. It's only noon. Boy.
All right, this is mountain time you're going.
I'll get there. Just give me time.
And then from Issues Program and the host of the later show, we have J.C. Riley.
I am part vegetable, part human.
What vegetable? Tomato?
Yeah.
No, wait, that's a fruit.
You're right, sorry. Uh-huh. He's part celery, everybody.
Part celery, I'm very tall.
Yeah.
And crunchy.
So, DCD, you were just talking about coming down with the con flu.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you. I went to the PAX show. PAX East was already a handful enough as it is because I was stuck in a room with Snoring Skelly from the Second Opinion podcast.
Oh, yeah.
So I didn't really sleep all 3 days.
You forgot to play the clip of the of him snoring on
Xbox. Oh, here, let me just recreate it for you. Sounds like something from Evil Dead, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And then I went to the Game Developers Conference right afterwards. So, you know, when you do back-to-back cons, like we talked about before the show, you're likely to catch something. And for this past week, I've been coughing up a storm. My voice has been somewhat affected, but I'm still standing, so.
Yeah, I think I caught The Walking Dead when we did PAX East 2010 and Anime Boston 2010, because I don't remember anything for the following 2 weeks. I know I did a podcast show, but my mind is blank as to what I talk about.
You want to talk about mind is blank? I'm walking up, I'm like, hey, what's going on, fellas? I'm recording a podcast this morning. Yeah, we're recording the podcast with you. I'm like, oh, shit, it's the Boston Bastard Brigade. That's kind of
the usual reaction.
My usual hungover reaction. When I'm hungover, I'm like, I don't remember you guys.
What did I promise this time?
Oh, my God, no, you can't have my pants. No! No!
So, J.C. Riley, how have you been doing?
I am good. I'm constantly building the new studio, or just always adding certain things. I just ordered some really good professional lighting, and I blanketed an entire wall inside my apartment with green screen, so when we actually do the Let's Plays, or I'm getting ready for the live action, live video podcast of the Boston Bastard Brigade that's coming up hopefully in late April. Yay. So we're actually able to put a table right there, and we don't have to depend on a small little screen, so.
Right. And that'd be great. And sounding fantastic. I think your studio already looks as good as, or almost even better than Craig Ferguson's.
Yeah, I would only wish, because, you know, he's a very good late night show. He's probably one of the, Jimmy Kimmel and himself, like, you know, Craig Ferguson, great, and also extra points to Craig Ferguson for being a huge Doctor Who fan, like myself, so.
Yeah.
Not to mention the fact he's got a robotic skeleton as a co-host.
He does, yes. What is it? What's his name? George or something?
No, I just said Jeffrey Peterson.
But a kind of like a skeleton with a mohawk and a suit, and he's always
looking. I'm looking it up.
Yes, yeah.
Well, you go while I look it up. Go ahead.
With his catchphrase, "There goes my penis."
I am so there. Wait, don't stop.
Almost done. That just reminds me of the Dirty Rotten Scoundrels thing. May I go to the bathroom, please?
Yeah,
well, yes, you can.
That's his name, Jeff.
Thank you.
Jeff is hilarious. Hey, I have this beach house in Madrid. You should come over.
Yeah.
Oh, we can have Mai Tais and mimosas. Yeah, right?
We can throw beads at each other.
Yeah, okay.
And you got a lot of funny man with a Scottish accent.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The Scottish accent itself is probably my favorite next to the Australian accents. But, you know, extra points. You know, Karen Gillan being a Scottish speaker and whatnot.
Oh, yeah, laddie!
Oh, laddie, that's funny. There's another person, a little Doctor Who trivia, that John Barrowman, who plays Captain Jack on Torchwood and Doctor Who, was born and is a Scottish descent. And he actually, his voice that he does for Captain Jack is a fake. Like, that's his movie voice, kind of like what Christian Bale does.
Oh, okay.
And he does that even for interviews, just because I guess no one can understand. Like, he actually spoke in his regular voice. And, you would need subtitles. It's hysterical.
Like, yeah, I'll tell you who's doing the
spiders.
You know, funny. That's how I speak when I'm drunk. you know what? I'll tell you who's doing like this big turnaround in his voice. You know, like Benedict Cumberbatch.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
This big accent thing on Sherlock, but in Star Trek. From Into Darkness, he's like, it's all deep, dirty, dark, blah, voice. You know, I'm going to destroy everything. Ah.
And, of course, his voice in Downton Abbey is probably completely different. It's probably like,
oh, my God.
Very much so.
Don't forget about Downton Abbey. That's great, too. All these accents. I swear. I'm going to go to a con one day, and I'm just going to be like, hey, DCD, how you doing? Oi, Lolly! How's it going, eh? And I'm just going to throw him completely off. Like, what the hell happened to you?
Yeah.
So when I went to the Irish bar before I got to the convention, I should buy me a leather kilt.
I think you should talk like that if you go to PAX Australia.
I think I should too. Just
is there a PAX Australia, really?
There is. It's happening this summer.
That's beautiful. PAX Australia. You know what's one thing that I just, not to get off topic and stuff, did anybody see Orphan Black last weekend?
I did not.
Not yet.
It's pretty good show, but here's another thing. You know how typically we have a lot of popular shows out there that are like, you know, British actors pretending to be American, like Walking Dead, you know, with Andrew Lincoln and David something, I can't remember who plays the governor. But Orphan Black stars two Canadians who are doing British accents, and one person is a Canadian who's doing a British accent of a person who's pretending to be American. So it was kind of weird that they, you know, it was kind of a complete turnaround because when they're interviewing them, it was like, wait a minute, what? They're Canadian? that Welsh accent sounds very, very good. It's like, congratulations to you. And it's actually a really good show.
See, but, you know you're thrown off, though, when they say something like, oh, yes, please take me to the nearest Mountie station. I mean, police station. Sorry.
What's that on the booth?
That on the booth.
I'm an evil person, I'm sorry. I mean no harm to my Canadian friends. I want cherry blossoms.
French Canadian ancestry, you are forgiven.
Mm-hmm. All right. Agar.
Okay, so we've gotten some of the happiness out, but let's turn up a little sadness because of the news of LucasArts being shut down by Disney.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Can I just say right now, I think the writing was on the wall a long time ago. I mean, it almost seems like the only two games that they were really working on nowadays were, what, 1313, which was delayed, and then First Assault, which was revealed but not announced. You know, it's like they don't know when they want to release it. And let's face facts, the last game that they licensed was Star Wars Kinect.
Nope. Angry Birds Star Wars.
Oh, you're right. Oh, yeah, you're right. They worked with Rovio on that, though.
Right.
I mean, the last console title, excuse me, was Kinect Star Wars.
Yes. And I do agree with you. The writing was on a wall. I mean, it's become apparent that Disney likes canceling or demolishing the best studios they have. They demolished, Black Rock Studios? The guy that did...
Split Second and Pure, yeah.
They are the best racing games out there. They canceled that. Mm. And then they closed Junction Point, which did the Epic Mickey series.
Yeah, but Epic Mickey sucks. Come on. Epic Mickey 2,
great. First one was great. The second one...
That one sucked.
Yeah.
Maybe they shouldn't have made it into a musical.
Well, here's the thing.
They made it into a musical?
Yeah. You know, the villain was singing all the way throughout, so it's like, no. You know, that's great. That's the, no, this isn't Rocky Horror Picture Show. Stop it. Stop it. The thing is, LucasArts, I think Disney could have taken the potential to take some classic LucasArts games and re-release them for consoles and make a killing. Yeah. Who would want to play TIE Fighter HD on Xbox Live or PlayStation?
Who would want to play Rebel Assault 2?
You know, Dark Forces. Redo Dark Forces in HD. Why not?
That would be really nice.
Yeah.
Day of the Tentacle.
Day of the Tentacle.
Sounds like a
again with the tentacle porn! You can't let go!
Risky. Tentacle porn.
That's God, good. That's what we talked about 2 weeks ago. I don't know where the Boston Baptist brought the tentacle porn.
You just get it ready for Anime Boston for the hentai subbing.
Yeah, hentai dubbing is absolutely.
But no, I mean, I see your point. I mean, games like Zack McCracken, Indiana Jones and the Fate of Atlantis, they could have re-released these in HD format. I mean, look what happened to Monkey Island. Those got re-released. Those did good in sales, you know, and then what happened? Telltale made some new Monkey Island games. And then Sam and Max came back, you know. There was so much potential, and I think Disney squandered it before they realized what they could have done with it. Hell, if somebody picked up Rogue Squadron, I mean, I know Factor 5's not around anymore to develop them, but if somebody picked up Rogue Squadron and made a damn good Rogue Squadron or Jedi Fighter game for this generation, I think it would have kicked ass.
That's what I was hoping, too, because yeah. I've been begging for Rogue Squadron 4, like, but more akin to what Rogue Leader was. I didn't like the third one too much. But
I like the third one. I mean, I think the way it recreated the Death Star battle was really cool, and the later missions were tough as shit, which I enjoyed.
Yeah, but the thing with Rogue Leader was that was the first game I bought for GameCube, and when I first played that, my initial reaction was, "Oh my god, I am playing the movie. This looks beautiful."
That's the way I felt about Rebel Assault 2. That was one of the first action games that I actually got for the PC back in '95. When I actually played it, and it was one of the things I think that they almost captured, sort of like live video, kind of like Mortal Kombat or whatnot, especially with the stormtroopers coming out and trying to shoot you, because it was a great combination of a shooter and also flying when you're whether you're in the TIE fighter or just anything around there. So, and I think that I'm not quite sure, but I think they may have recreated the Death Star assault. So, but anyway, that was probably one of my all-time favorites as a child. Playing that and getting around there. So, you know, I'm not saying I'm so young. It's probably when I was a young teenager. So, see, now, dating myself.
Dating yourself. Hi, me. Good to see you, me. No, when I first discovered, like, LucasArts games, I was in the prime of my game. I was, like, 13, 14. I was just a young, you know, growing up and everything like that. And I discovered the magic of LucasArts. You know, getting into stuff like Loom and even, like, their earliest, like, Ball Blazer. You guys remember Ball Blazer on the Atari 7800? That was actually pretty good. Maybe that may be past your guys' prime, but this was back when, you know, competitive gaming was first getting its start and everything like that. And it was just a really good point moving forward. Then they started releasing good Star Wars games. You know, I'm going to forget about Super Bombad Racing and all that shit. But I'm talking like Knights of the Old Republic, you know, like Jedi Knight, you know, Dark Forces. They really knew how to balance between their original games and their Star Wars games. They didn't let either go to their head. They balanced them out. And they introduced the world to Ron Gilbert, to Tim Schafer, who's now still around with Double Fine. You know, they their mark. And their mark is not going to be easy to erase. The company may be shut down, but everybody's going to remember LucasArts for what they did over the past... some 30 years.
The one game that I always think of when I think of LucasArts isn't a Star Wars game, isn't some sort of Monkey Island title. The one title I always think of, and I don't know if you agree with me with this, is The Dig.
The Dig was cool, but I think of Grim Fandango.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yep.
See, that's a close second. But for me, the sort of cinematic experience that The Dig brought to it, despite its show... graphics for the time was just all around brilliant, and to have Steven Spielberg actually come in and help create the story, it just helped build up the sort of magic that you couldn't really find in video games that time.
Yeah. I mean, such originality came from the earlier games. I mean, Loom I thought was fantastic. I don't know if you guys remember Loom.
No, I'm not familiar with that.
Check it out. Look it up online. It's really cool.
They're going to get rid of all the Lego games?
What?
Didn't they do Lego?
No, that was Traveler's Tales.
Yeah.
I'm just worried. Like, is it now that every time we're going to see a Star Wars game come out, we're going to see the big Disney logo right on top of it?
More than likely. Yeah.
Still, I mean, if they move forward with 1313, I'll be happy. I mean, because there's talk that somebody else might pick it up. Because so much work went into the next generation engine for that, and it's a mature-rated based Star Wars game. It can make money for whoever picks it up. The question is, who would pick it up?
I think Ubisoft.
Yeah, well, they did so well with South Park. We haven't even heard what Nat's releasing yet.
I know. What the hell? I bet you E3
I know, right? I mean, supposedly we'll hear something about E3. Maybe they'll make a deal with the South Park guys by then. I hope so.
Well, let's just hope that they actually have a playable. For anybody like you, DCD, are you going to E3 this year?
Oh, hell yes. I'm already planning my trip, so.
Oh, good. You and the King Baby Duck are going to be going, so hopefully you guys will be able to experience maybe a first, first chance, I guess, play with that game, if possible, when they actually make the deal going down, so.
Yeah, I hope so.
That would be really nice, so.
Yeah, but, I mean, like I said, LucasArts left a big mark in this industry. I think Disney could have done more with the classic games that they had to, like, re-release them. Because say what you will about cashing in on the re-releases, these are nostalgic games that we would have enjoyed re-experiencing in this era of games, I think.
Like, the Last Crusade adventure game that came out, I think that was the first LucasArts title I played, and I loved the hell out of it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, not only that, with the re-releases and stuff like that, because of the fact, there's so many people that love the games, they'll just keep buying the games up through the generations of systems.
Yeah.
Because it's just going to get better every time. Just a little bit more.
Yeah.
Let's move on to something that's not as sad, but maybe it wasn't that surprising. The cancellation of Aliens Colonial Marines on the Wii U. The version that Robert Pitchford was saying, okay, this is going to be the definitive version. The definitive version. But the thing about this cancellation was, I was hoping that they were going to pull a whole Ninja Gaiden 3 and be like, haha, this is actually the better version. And then all the Nintendo fans could actually...
Oh, wow. Yeah, if only. But I've actually heard nothing but bad things about having, as far as reviews, people who actually got to see some sort of game shots or gameplay, the fact that it was worse than the Xbox 360 and PS3 as far as quality and stuff right here. A whole lot more blocky as far as, the AI is probably still the same one we love, but as far as the game quality and just, picture itself, it's just, I wasn't surprised because I know a lot of, I've seen a lot of people do either reviews on the game itself and then saying, we don't even know when this game is actually coming out for the Wii U and so, but...
Here's the thing. I mean, Gearbox wasn't even doing anything with it. I mean, Demiurge Studios, the guys who made Shoot Many Robots, were in charge of the conversion.
Yes.
From what I heard, they ran into so many frustrations trying to, validate the game. Because you saw the 360 and PS3 versions, they were shit.
Yes.
They were trying so hard to validate the game to get the Wii U interface working that they probably went to Sega and be like, you guys are kind of asking the impossible here. Because, to try and validate the title now on a platform that isn't as powerful as PlayStation and Xbox, because it's not. The chip hardware is not nearly as good as those systems. These guys are basically trying to climb Mount Kilimanjaro with a spoon. There's no way they could do it. So I think Sega was just like, let's cut our losses. The three people who are looking forward to this game are going to be disappointed, but still, let's cut our losses, because otherwise we're going to lose some money here.
It's literally like the kind of joke that I put on Facebook, but I think I worded it wrong. It's almost like Sega being the player going, I want to go in, coach, let me go in. And Gearbox, people are like, you got two broken legs. It's this is kind of impossible for us actually to get it done. There's no way we can win at this. It's unfortunate right here, because there probably would have been an interesting way to actually play the game, considering the fact that Wii U is kind of like a two-screen kind of thing where you're able to control it with the little view controller. Well, what is that actually called, King?
The gamepad.
The gamepad. You have the ability of working the gamepad and also a different screen up on the TV itself right there. But making, an inventory thing, kind of like a zombie U, almost. So it'd be interesting, that would be great, not to jump into Zombie U, but it would be great that they actually could have made, Aliens versus the Colonial Marines version of kind of like the multiplayer, that minigame where, you got the person controlling the zombies itself and sending them out to one person that's actually on the game, on the game app and stuff right here, just sending out different xenomorphs out there to attack, and you just have to get them. You don't know where they're coming from, so that would have been a great way to incorporate like a multiplayer or a certain part of the game itself instead of the campaign. So,
yeah.
But oh well.
So,
see, the thing I'm concerned about with this game's cancellation is Nintendo's continued reputation to try to validate the Wii U. Because look at this. Rayman Legends was supposed to be a big Wii U release. Now it's multi-platform and not coming out until September. You know, EA said we're not bringing Crysis 3 to Wii U because it can't handle it. You know, like a lot of these developers are shooting down the Wii U already. And now you have a game that, you know, like I said, it was broken anyway from the start. But it got canceled for Wii U. So it's like, you got to wonder what Nintendo's going to try to do with E3 to do some sort of turnaround. I'm thinking price drop. That has to be it.
Yeah, I think so too. But, Luanik, what were you trying to say?
What I was trying to say was is the whole setup that with the you know the actual game itself right there, you know how they have the radar detector and stuff like that? It's one of those things that's a part of the game where, you know, what you can do is you'd have that on your actual game pad. You know, it was going on your game pad. So when you're playing the game, you're looking up, and all of a sudden you hear, and you look down, and then you start seeing the dots pop up.
See, now that would really be a really
cool. That would have been an awesome feature.
Like, oh, shit,
yeah.
They're coming. But yeah, I would think that would be probably.
Game over, man!
That,
game over!
Yeah.
Game over, man! Holy shit! They're coming around us!
You know, it was awesome because it would show that little screen there. It has like a little, like, half circle or some shit like that, or a quarter of a circle, and all you see is the actual line coming back and forth, and going, and you'd be like, oh shit, they're behind me, they're, but you know, it would be really really awesome to do it that way.
Yeah,
there's many different options and different ways to actually develop to make it different and a whole lot more enjoyable than the actual console games before it came out. But I don't know, it seems like they're cutting their losses or whatnot, and just. Totally, because the thing is, now we're seeing it's a Gearbox game that was developed by another game company, and now that same kind of idea is now being developed by a different company for a different console. It's like,
It's like if Gearbox had just taken control, we would have had something here.
Yeah.
Nope, they're too busy making Borderlands and spending Sega's cash. Sorry. All right. By the way, sorry for bursting in with my opinion in the middle of your breakdown of the game. It was kind of out of place there. It was just like, but I got a point. I mean, like, Wii U is struggling in this. I mean, even if it's cancellation of a shitty game, it doesn't help.
It doesn't, no. But I have a feeling that they might have one trick up their sleeve. You say price drop. I think we might see a little bit more Bayonetta 2. And
yeah.
Who knows? They might show off like just one small little surprise that none of us know about. Maybe
the new Zelda.
Probably the new Zelda.
Yeah.
But it's unfortunate. Let me ask you a question. Bioshock Infinite is not coming out for the Wii U, is it?
They're actually talking about doing it for the
It's interesting because if Crysis 3 can't handle being on the Wii U, what's the thought of are they going to just downgrade the quality itself right here for Bioshock Infinite? Because I've heard so many great things about this game. I've been wondering all the spoilers, but the thing is, it's everybody keeps saying, play it on the PC. It's going to be, you know, the quality of the video, it's just going to look way better than anything else.
I say if EA can bring PC quality to the Wii U from something like Need for Speed, Most Wanted, they could probably do that with Crysis 3. I think it's the people who make Crysis are being kind of too lazy to try and actually put it on the Wii U. Because they said they got it working on there. But I bet you they're like, oh, what do we do with the second screen? I don't know. Well, fuck it. Let's not release it on
there.
Let's
go wipe our ass with it.
And I absolutely hate how the guy from Epic Games, like laughed off about the whole thing about Unreal 4 not being able to run it. You're going to be able to run Unreal 4 on the Wii U.
But the thing is, how often are you going to have crashes or glitches on there? It's like dealing with a Hog PVR recorder. It's like, yeah, it's great, and it provides great video quality just coming from a tech standpoint, but it constantly crashes. You're constantly having to reboot the system sometimes right here. It's like, yeah, it is playable for probably, but how many times are you actually going to have to like restart the game or turn off the console and turn it back on? You know, just depending on how it stresses the actual video processor itself. So
right, yeah.
Not to mention the fact, like, how many games have screen tearing?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this is supposed to be an next-gen system, and, like half the games I played on that thing, just like, screen tear. I mean, I know it's not a big deal for some people, but if I pay good money for a next-gen console, I want it to run with a next-gen level. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's understandable. That is very understandable.
Yeah. Because next-gen means, next-generation means better than before, the future of gaming and stuff. And if the future of gaming is still going to have the same problems as the previous consoles, just because they're either not strong enough, or it's like, you know, next-gen does not mean the next console. It means like that we're moving on, we're evolving. So
yeah, they're all about the concept of not the quality. It's just getting it out to the consumer more or less. So
make money, just get it out there.
Like, okay, instead of making this like a PC where we can hook it up to make it better and stuff like that every time, we'll just, we'll make a shitty little console that will make that the baseline. So whenever we want game design and stuff like that, we get, this is the baseline, you have to have it at the minimum requirements, and then just throw it together, throw the fucking game on there, and then we'll patch it, and then we'll leave it, because that's what we'll do. That's their concept with the things. But like saying with PC-based, there's so many more options because people are able to upgrade their computer almost on a daily basis. You know, that's the thing with that. But yeah, I mean,
there's something new that comes out every single day for a computer.
Yeah, well, it's just a disappointment that our consoles aren't able to keep up with the PC aspect, because they just sit there, we've had Xbox around since what?
2005.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why I believe that the whole entire, everybody's outsourcing, getting rid of the desktop and going tablets is complete bullshit. Because this is the unique platform. This is the platform where games will always, like, best quality, they're always producing new games. So the majority of the people who are actually PC gamers just won't let that happen. It's like, and I feel bad that Microsoft actually released a report saying that our future is going to be, more games than actual desktop PCs and programs like that. So it's like, I can't remember where I read that. I'm just paraphrasing. But it sounds shitty that they're actually going to be, it's a neglected younger brother, or neglected older brother, and we're just going to concentrate on this new idea right here. DRM, it sounds like a great idea.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. The one thing I heard is that Dell PCs are in trouble because of the fact of how Windows 8 has, taken over. That's the one thing that I have an issue with.
I fucking hate Windows 8.
Yeah,
I hate you.
But that's the thing is when seeing that they were like, oh, well, because Windows 8's come out, we're going to have to put it on every computer that we're selling and stuff like that. A lot of people have been...
Yeah, I got my computer with Windows 8, and I completely wiped it out within 24 hours and bought $120 per... Oh, Windows 7 Pro, just because I know that it's the next best thing to XP that will run high quality, programs. It's up to date and stuff.
Right.
It's like, I'll wait 4 years for Windows 8. And, but the thing is, it's fucked up that the fact that there are reports that they're coming out with Windows 9 probably at the end of the year. And I'm like, what? And like, do you have that? It's like, hopefully just get rid of it quicker than Vista and we'll be good. So
Windows 8, seeing that did everything, it's doing in Dell. Dell, because of the fact that they don't really offer the whole aspect of going back to Windows 7, and they've ruined Alienware and all that other stuff. There's only certain companies like iBuyPower or a couple other, small little ones there that are actually producing, computers and whatnot that have the Windows 7 on there that actually is playable. You're able to play almost every game under the sun underneath there that comes out every week and stuff like that because of how they design it. Now, Dell is just completely screwed because of the fact they're like, oh, we'll just keep putting out these computers that maybe have touchscreens on them, but they don't. But, they have the Windows 8 capability, but, you can't do the touchscreen, so it's stupid. And then we'll have you spend $800 for the fucking thing with an Intel video graphics card on there. So, more or less, a lot of people are jumping ship and going to Apple, and it's causing Dell to say, hey, let's get out of the race, but they're going to probably pull what HP did, which... They were like, oh, we're going to get out of the race and stuff like that. And then people went at the last minute, were buying all their PCs up at the last minute. And they go, oh, you know what? We're actually going to come back. And they started selling their fucking computers again. So Dell's trying to do what HP did. But more or less, I hope Dell goes down like a sinking ship because it deserves it.
Yeah. JCD, your thoughts?
The whole thing, I'm not really much of a Microsoft PC fan. I think I'm more concerned with the fact that all these rumors with the treatment of this whole bullshit with a deal with it thing. You guys seen this, right? Where like Microsoft's creative director lashed out at people saying, "Oh, I'm not buying next Xbox because you're required to be online all the time."
Oh yeah, I was reading about that.
Yeah, apparently he's all like, "Deal with it," and everything like that. Microsoft apologized and refused to acknowledge that the next Xbox existed. It was beautiful. It was just like, what? We know it's coming, guys. Just tell us, you know. And it's, I am concerned with some people take from that, but you know, it's like, as far as Microsoft, I mean, they Microsoft invested money in a big entertainment center. They're not just going to be just games. They're going to try to get more interactive experiences going. They're actually broadcasting the Call of Duty Championship that's taking place in LA right now. So they're trying to get more people.
Yeah, I just saw pictures from that. That looks pretty cool. So
it does, it does. And they got a WWE app for WrestleMania tomorrow. So they're still trying to get more people involved in entertainment, but I would not be surprised if they had a better focus on games. My thing that I really want to see, though, apparently they worked out the trademark thing for that Killer Instinct. So I would love to see that come back. That'd be nice. Because see, Killer Instinct, they tried to do the Killer Instinct trademark, but a Fox show had it. So they worked out the deal with Fox where they could both cross-brand it. So now Microsoft has access to Killer Instinct, so don't be surprised at E3 if we see Killer Instinct HD.
Oh, man, that would be so awesome. Bring that game back. So much fun.
Yes.
Combo breaker.
Like, you know, the fact that, like, so, if you have a little bit of life and you just come back and just have this huge combo and just destroy the shit out of somebody.
I guess my wrap-up is Microsoft is trying to focus a bit on games, but I also wouldn't be surprised if they went more toward the general entertainment thing. But the thing is, they need to watch out for these assholes who are just like, oh, you know what, fuck you, go buy a PS4. I'm not. Why would I visit there? Deal with it. You know, deal with these guys. And, you know, if you're gonna release a system, at least just tell us when it's coming, because I know you're going to reveal it this month. You might as well just say when.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Agreed.
All right, Nick.
All right. Why don't we talk about the demo for Injustice Gods? Was it Gods Among Us?
Gods Among Us. Yeah.
So you got.
I'm excited for this.
I was at first hesitant, but the more I got to play the demo, the more excited I got. Especially when it came to using the backgrounds of, or rather, the scenery to your advantage. Like, when I saw Batman throw Lex Luthor into the helicopter in the background, that was just awesome.
Yeah. The interactivity is just unreal with this game. The fact that different characters can do different things with different items in each stage mixes up the fight, you know, so you actually stand a chance of coming back and trying to win. I really like that factor.
The graphics
look amazing.
Yeah.
I love the redesign of all the costumes that they actually have for the main characters and stuff right here. Superman, Aquaman, Batman, The Flash itself right there. I thought that it was really cool reinventing, I guess, of their outfits. So that was pretty cool. I haven't played it yet, but it just looks really awesome as far as, and it just reminds me of what DCD was saying as far as it's almost like Power Stone for like the Dreamcast. Like every piece of the actual fighting arena itself right here can be used to your advantage. So being able, I know I'm bringing it back to a really old game on a obsolete game system, but I always love things where you can just grab not only just weapons on the ground, but just things around the actual area itself. So,
what I liked about it was the fact that there was some pretty awesome, like, you know, I don't know how it, like, moves or
combos?
Special combos? No, special, I don't know, whatever the fuck you want to call it. There was the one that Lex Luthor pulled on me where he like, sent down, like, an ion beam from a friggin' satellite. And then there was another one where I was doing Batman versus Batman, and Batman sent, the one that I'm versing, like, goes and sends me a friggin', beats the shit out of me, and then all of a sudden the Batmobile comes out of nowhere and runs me over. So, yeah, there was some pretty dynamic, like, little, you know, ass-kickery. I mean, I remember seeing this at PAX East when they had it up on Twitch's TV there, but I mean, it's just, it's awesome to actually get to play it, and it's pretty awesome that it's from NetherRealms.
Yeah.
I mean, that they did the whole aspect with the Mortal Kombat, you know, set up on that. But yeah, I mean, they're designed for the characters too. They have multiple. When you go and finish that, the demo and stuff like that, don't just go and exit out of it. Just watch all the stuff that they have. They have multiple, like, designs on the characters and all that other stuff that they put forward. They did a lot of work on it.
Yeah.
Give it a chance.
And then what? There's no death? Oh, yeah. Missing of the fatalities.
really just asking.
Yeah, I mean, the fatalities aren't there, but the super moves look fantastic, so I'm happy with it.
Yeah, same here. Especially, what was it that Doomsday does when he, like, punches you so far you go through the one side of the Earth to the other side?
No.
Or, like, Flash hits you, then runs all the way around the Earth at lightning speed, and then comes back and hits you again. I'll tell you this, I had more fun playing... That's like the highlight of Xbox Live this week. Well, that and BattleBlock, but we'll get to that later. But, I mean, you know, it's just really cool to see a demo that shows people how the fighting system works, and it really gets me excited for the full game, because, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun, especially with, like, a story mode with Challenge Tower, which is called Star Labs here. You know, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Agreed. And the other game we were talking about, Battle Block Theater. I remember they were showing this off at PAX East 2011.
Yeah, I know, but it finally came out this week, and it's friggin' awesome. The Behemoth does a great job of their games, and this is no exception.
I just love the origin story in the beginning with the ship just flying around everywhere with the puppets.
I'll tell you, the co-op mode is what does it for me, because you can either help your friend out legitimately or fucking kill them. And have fun doing it. You know, that's the thing. You don't have to be a loyal co-op partner. You could send them drowning in the water, then jump on their head to collect the gem. You know, and they'll fully understand that they'll do the same thing to you 5 seconds later.
Yeah. Or you can self-destruct and let a big giant fart right afterwards.
Oh my god, that's amazing. I mean, you think Little Big Planet self-destruction is something? I mean, you don't self-destruct unless you fart first.
But I'm still trying to figure out what's going to be going on with the cats in this game, because I played with the trial. How are the cats gonna keep you from getting to, what is it, his name, Hattie McHatterson?
Hattie Hatterson, yeah.
Hattie Hatterson.
Haddington, sorry.
Haddington. Right, like Paddington Bear, like Paddington.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like, from what I've played so far, you basically played the full version, right?
Right.
So I haven't bought it yet. Is it a must-buy? Should I, like, just stop recording right now and run to my nearest local...
Yeah, just buy it and play the shit out of it. If you don't, I'll beat the shit out of you.
Nice 1,200 Xbox Live.
Yeah, but how many levels are there in it?
Oh, there's a ton. I mean, that's the thing. There are, like, several levels that you can go through, but then they have all these additional mini-games that you can play.
Yeah.
And you can play them online, co-op, or you can do it local, and they're actually a good time. And there's one kick-around game that's actually a good time. So, I mean, I'm not going to spoil it for you. You just need to go get it.
All right. Sounds good.
Better that than Double Dragon 2, The Wonder of Dragons. Holy shit.
Right, you mean the same remake that is an 80s game of Star Wars?
Yeah, I'll be with the exact description. This is a remake Double Dragon 2, an 80s game. The storyline takes same as original game story. However, the graphic character, action system, etc. are changed. Also, we are including new stage and enemy in the game. The player will be addicted to new version of Double Dragon 2. Also, characters are undressed from 80s style. Wait, and recreated it with modern, sexy, and beautiful style that amaze you and feel never before experienced world before.
I'm sorry, what? All I heard was...
You know what? A friend of mine put it best to me on Twitter. This is North Korea's concealed attack on us.
Kim Jong-un.
I will release Double Dragon 2, an 80s game.
I've been around the world in Saudi Arabia and whatnot, and I remember seeing bootleg games or bootleg movies, and it just sounds like the description of certain movies, how they get it wrong. Like, they'll have a picture of Batman and it says Spider-Man 2, or they'll just have an awful description of the game that makes no sense.
Yeah.
I played the demo, and this game is hideous. Just avoid Double Dragon Neon instead.
See, yeah, exactly. That's how I felt about that, too, DCD. Like, you know, I played it, and I go, I miss, you know, Neon so much because it looked better. And, of course, but it seems like it's the exact same kind of, like, game. And almost, it starts the exact same kind of way. But it's like, they only let you play level 3. But it's like, I couldn't even move at the start. And all of a sudden, the guys just started ganging up on me. And it's just, even on an easy difficulty, it's still like, you know, but the only saving grace of it suffered here, unlike, you know, Double Dragon 3 and Sacred Stones, is you had unlimited continues. So regardless of how many times you die, you could still probably progress through that.
I like the fact it gives you the option to either revenge or pass. So you can either revenge on or pass. Wow. And then that boss, boss just laughs at you, does this front flip out of nowhere, and then knocks over barrels unceremoniously. He's like, rah, ah, 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 ah.
And I'm trying to do the jump kick, and I keep missing him, and it just doesn't have any effect.
It's
not
even a real jump kick. It's a fucked up jump kick.
It's Johnny Cage jump kick. But, yeah, and the demo is way too short. I know it's a really short game, but literally I had it done in, like, 6 minutes. So, like, you know.
How about that opening cinema, too? It'd be like, you don't remember anything, do you, Maria? And I'm like, what? Is this a flashback? Like
we just walked into a rape scene or something like that. It just shows her cowering in the corner.
I know, right? I'd be like, damn it, they didn't do this in Final Fight. What the hell?
No. It's kind of like the opening scene of the movie.
I miss Final Fight. Guy Hagger.
It's like the opening scene in the new Evil Dead movie. It was like, you don't remember anything, do you? Daddy, come on, let me go.
Nothing like walking into the middle of a story and not knowing what the fuck is going on. Thanks, guys. Appreciate that.
I'm like, what happened? Huh? I don't know. It just reminded me. I tried playing on the hardest difficulty, and it just reminded me of playing Double Dragon 3. It's like, literally, like, you jump out, the controls are slow, and you know, I don't know. I can't even describe it. But then it's like literally have 4 to 5 guys on you, and regardless of how many people you're punching, they'll just you even get hurt if like you're jumping and you bounce into something. You'll automatically jump down. It's not worth it at all.
See, not to mention the fact that multi-directional combat. Didn't anybody learn a lesson from Turtles in Time Reshelled? Do not make me attack in 8 directions. Shit, I hate that.
Things can be learned from certain games that have multi-fighting, like Arkham Asylum, Arkham City, how Batman was able to fight, you know, senses, yeah. Punch, 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 back punch, right here, and be able to take on groups of guys and stuff right here. It's just, it seemed like reality too much. You try to jump to a frame, and they just kick the shit out of you until you're dead.
Right.
Sounds like, to just avoid this one like the plague.
Yeah, there's probably a reason why it's only arcade.
Yeah.
-0.
Yeah.
All right. So why don't we talk about something good that's kind of retro but remade? The new Evil Dead movie.
Oh yeah. Well, here's the thing. A lot of people are like, if you go into this expecting something to top the original Evil Dead, you're going to be disappointed. But if you look for something that's going to rise above the standards of all these shitty horror movies that are out now, you'll be pleased.
Yes.
I agree with that statement. Because the story's about the same. You got these kids who are going to a cabin, and they uncover a book, and the book says, hey, don't read these pages, and then, of course, somebody reads the pages, and here goes
the phone. My hand was, like, over my forehead, like, no, don't read the book. You're reading the book.
Like, seriously? But
even though I just told you, don't read the book.
Yeah, I know, right? Don't read the book. Okay.
Don't recite the cantation. Condor. You mean don't recite Condor. Blah, 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 blah. Whoopsies.
Yeah, like, DCD makes a good point right here. It's not trying to be it's not a remake of the original. It's kind of like a retelling of a same kind of story, more or less. And the fact that, like, you know, they did have their cheesy lines in there, but they did not quote stuff that Ash would say. And they didn't even say Klaatu Barata Nikto. They came up with their own words, I guess, right here.
Well, Who spotted the car?
I did.
That
was awesome.
That car is every Sam Raimi movie.
I love it.
Spider-Man. It's like I'm still trying to find it in The Quick and the Dead, so.
It's parked under the city, probably.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, the cool thing about this movie, they didn't let up on the gore. I love the gore factor.
Me too.
Like, especially near the end. I won't give it away, but near the end, it was just awesome. It's just, they pour it on here, and that's pure Evil Dead fashion. And, like, some of these moments were cringeworthy, but, I mean, I still liked it. I still thought it was a better remake than I was going to give a credit. Because when they announced the remake, I was like, ah, shit, they're going to fuck this one up too. But they didn't. They actually made it a moderately decent remake. I mean, it still feels kind of unnecessary in places, but I like how it turned out.
Yeah, I mean, even when you got, like, Bruce Campbell, Sam Raimi, you got the whole crew going, we approve of the sequel.
Yeah, well, Bruce Hamilton already produced this.
Yes.
Along with one other person somewhere here. But I have to say that when I heard the announcement, it was yay and nay, because they announced two things. They announced the Evil Dead kind of like reboot, retelling, and also Army of Darkness 2 that is coming out right here. But you know, I was excited until I heard that Diablo Cody had something to do with it. Then I also, and I heard the premise of the story, and I got frightened. I got seriously frightened, but then I guess it kind of, like, when I saw it, I was like, okay, I understand what this is right here. And, you know, not, no spoilers or not, but it fits. It more or less fits inside this movie. And I just ignored anything about it. Like, I ignored it more than a Bioshock teaser spoiler. Because it's like, I wanted to enjoy and forget about all the gore stuff that I saw in that really awesome Red Band trailer, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
And also, did you guys stay for the post credits?
I did not.
Oh, why?
There is something at the end.
Oh!
It's a little something, but I'm telling you, I don't know if I should spoil it.
You can spoil it after.
Tell us off.
You know what? Let me put it this way. You thought Bruce Campbell wasn't in this movie? He is.
No!
No! Guess who's kicking themselves? Guess who's kicking themselves?
God damn it.
That was an exclamation point. That's when I knew this was an approved remake. I saw that. And yeah, now you got to go back and see it again or find it on YouTube. It's probably on YouTube, you know. But I mean, the whole point was just, you know, these guys were paying a nod to the original, yet they made it their own unique flavor. And that's what I liked. I thought it was really enjoyable. And I'm sorry you guys didn't stay for the final stuff because that was great. Some people are questioning it, but I thought it was great that it was included. Just look it up. You'll see what I mean.
Okay. God damn it, I really want to see that. That's what happens when you bring up a girlfriend to a movie, and she's not that kind of person. Like, I literally sat down, she's like, are we leaving? I'm like, I don't want to leave. I didn't watch the credits. Like, fine, let's go. Oh my God, I'll watch it later on YouTube or something. But it's like,
so now you have to. Now you have
to. Yes,
I
have to. I
feel like just going out right now, going back into the movie theater and just
forcing them. See, I got tricked with Avengers. I thought the whole, they had two of those things at the end, and I missed the whole shawarma thing. I actually looked it up online just so I could watch the shawarma thing. And that's
the pain. Yeah, I put a link in the chat room, so.
All right, so you found it?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, I'm like, I kind of want to push it now. I don't know if I should.
I want to see your reaction when you do. No. You can do it later.
Oh, okay.
It's pretty cool, though. Yeah, it's just this little thing that they added to it. It's just watch it.
Okay.
Well, that's all I'll say, though. I mean, I think I already spoiled enough for the Evil Dead fans. Just go see it. It's one of the better horror remakes out there. Considering the shitty state of horror movies as we know them as it is, looking at you, Chernobyl Diaries, it's great.
The last movie I actually enjoyed that was horror-based that actually gave me a couple of quick scares was Sinister. I really enjoyed
Sinister was all kinds of fucked up.
Oh, wow. My God. Oh, it was so good because it gave you a right at gore. Now, remember, it's crazy because one of the guys that co-wrote that movie is actually a video game journal or a movie journalist for Ain't It Cool News, Cargill something. I can't remember, but he used to be on Spill.com, which is a really awesome movie review site. But it was really cool how he's like, he quit the website doing the work for Spill to do this movie. And I'm like, yeah, okay, it's going to be done. And he's like, no, well, Ethan Hawke is in it. Still, I don't know, it's going to be shitty. And all of a sudden I see him, I'm like, holy shit. It's like, you know, now they're throwing him off or some stuff. And there are talks that he may be writing a live-action Gundam movie. So, you know, which is could be, but I'm still waiting for Pacific Rim.
Rim's gonna be awesome.
Oh my God, I cannot wait. I saw a spreadsheet that I actually showed on the show last Sunday, where it just showed all the breakdowns of the certain robots in each country and how strong they are and what their kill counts are. I'm like, oh, it's like kaiju kill counts. I'm like, oh my God, this looks so awesome.
Blonick wanted to say something about.
The Lords of Salem, I was kind of scared about that movie coming out. I know that it was done in our area and whatnot, but it's I don't know, it doesn't look as good as it could be.
Yeah, the preview looks scary, but I haven't heard anything good come from it, especially when they had the screening at South by Southwest in Austin. You know, people were like, you know, so disappointed in it and stuff, so I was like, really? It's like, is it like, you know, House of 1,000 Corpses bad, or is it like, you know, you know, could it be something like, you know, Devil's Rejects? Because I really enjoyed that one. So.
Yeah, Devil's Rejects was good.
Yeah, but I'm thinking that Rob Zombie has lost his touch, or he's just, you know, been touched.
Certainly lost his touch with live music. He's awful to see him live.
Yeah.
You know, he has to be more of an Alice Cooper kind of guy now.
You know what movie I'm actually looking for? Do you guys see the trailer for The Purge?
Yes.
That's pretty awesome, because you basically got 12 hours in which you can do whatever the hell you want, crime-free.
And
like, all these weird masked people come into the house, and like, shit, yeah, this is going to be good. Ethan Hawke can't get a break lately after Sinister.
It's funny enough. The other writer from Sinister, not Cargo, but the other guy co-wrote this movie because it said brought by.
I think it's going to be great. I think it's going to be great.
Way better than Your Next. Your Next looks like a cross between Funny Games and.
See, Your Next, I heard there was a twist that puts like everything in a kibosh. So I don't know.
Interesting.
Because there's supposed to be a twist where like somebody who's at the dinner party isn't who they seem.
Oh, okay.
So that kind of puts an interesting twist on things. I mean, if we're going to talk about like shitty horror movies, why don't we talk about Would You Rather? That movie was awful. Now these people at a dinner party, would you rather do this or would you rather do that? I'd rather kill you, but okay, I'll play along. Sure, why not? Idiot.
All right,
but enough movie. There's some good movies coming out this summer.
Yes.
First one I'm going to see is Iron Man 3. That's it.
Probably.
Star Trek Into Darkness.
Yes.
Yeah.
Kick-Ass 2.
You know what? I will go see Fast and Furious 6. I don't give a shit.
I think it's going to be good, although I don't think the video game's going to be good.
Don't you mean the one that Activision still hasn't announced?
No, a month before the movie's coming out? It.
Amazon released it. I mean, Amazon released the information. Activision hasn't announced it yet.
Really? That is, I don't know, that's kind of jumping
gun. That's a sign of shovelware, ladies and gentlemen. That is a sign of shovelware.
Yeah.
What's the definition of shovelware?
Walking Dead Survival Instinct. I think I just defined it, thank you. Because that game was fucking awful.
Yeah.
But it was worse than Alien Colonial Marines, I've heard that.
I said it made Alien Colonial Marines look like a Game of the Year candidate. That's how
Yeah, I heard that they quoted you on GamerTag Radio. About that, so
I love it.
That was great because I listened to that podcast a lot, and they're like, "Yeah, the DCE says it makes these Alien Colonial Marines look like Game of the Year." I'm like, "Oh, I know that guy. Oh, that's awesome." You've been mentioned a lot on that podcast. Almost every other day, quoted you and Hip Hop Gamer. So,
yeah. I do like those guys over GamerTag Radio, and they just brought in Paris. Vicious 696, he's a great addition to the show. Captain Workout.
Yeah, he's on the last podcast.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's an awesome guy.
Yeah.
He's a little too close to me, but he's awesome.
So, one of the other things that's happened within the movie realm, the passing of one of the most beloved movie critics, Roger Ebert.
Yeah, I mean, it was a shame, but I hate to say it. I mean, for the longest time, he's been suffering. Like, his whole lower jaw was destroyed by cancer and everything, and then it came back, and, you know, it's like the day after he announced that he was kind of, like, backing away from the movie industry, he dies. It's kind of a shame, really. I mean,
remember when Charles Schultz died? It was, like, the day after the final Peanuts comic was printed.
I know, it was ridiculous. But Roger Ebert, I mean, a lot of people didn't see eye to eye with Roger Ebert, because, like he said, video games weren't art, it was his opinion, whatever, but he knew, like, how to put good movie reviews together. You know, he really knew what made him click. How to put it in entertaining words, you know. He knew how to be a good journalist about it. And I'll be honest, watching his old At the Movie stuff with Siskel and Ebert, those were always a lot of fun. I actually ran through. I read through a lot of the old clips. He reviewed, like, The Wizard. I watched his review of Super Mario Brothers, which is hilarious, by the way.
My favorite,
I watched Jurassic Park.
My favorite one so far is North, where he just goes, I hated this movie. Hated this movie.
Yeah, and then I watched his review for Dark City, and I'm like, yes, this is one of the best. Because Dark City, back when it was released, was so awesome. You know, and I was like, I saw right out of the eye with him on his review, I thought, yeah, it was amazing and everything. And then he did a commentary for, like, the Blu-ray, and I'm like, oh, wow. He must really, really like this movie. Yeah, I know. So he really knew his stuff, so he will be missed. But, I mean, like I said, his jaw was gone, and... He wasn't really doing well, so maybe now he's at peace.
Yeah.
And it was strange that that actually happened the day after. I believe it was the day after or 2 days after he decided that he was going to actually quit working and just be at home and stuff right here. I guess that there was an official release that I actually said right there. But he's done a lot as far as, you know, a great review journalist. And also he actually even created a movie, Beyond the Valley of Dolls, that was actually released
really
in 1970, who he wrote with... Russ Meyers, who directed the movie, so it's 68% of Rotten Tomatoes. You know, I've never seen it before, but I know that, you know, a lot of the different people, it's one thing to critique on a movie, but if you're critiquing on a movie, and also you actually been in the driver's seat as far as writing a movie and going through the production stuff right here, you often get a different view of it, how it works, instead of just saying, I don't like this movie, I love this movie.
See,
so, you know.
there were some things you didn't agree with, Mon. Like, I'm still trying to figure out why he gave the new Total Recall movie a positive review. Because that movie was just
shit. I
think
he might have been a fan of the original Philip K. Dick story.
Yeah, maybe, but still, I didn't think the movie was even close to the old Schwarzenegger epic, as it will.
Yeah.
Did they have three titties?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, good, good. But I hear Quato was not there.
Quato's not there.
Yeah, unfortunate.
And apparently Bryan Cranston does not... If Bryan Cranston can't top Ronnie Cox, you got a problem. They gave him a good role, but he just couldn't run with it. Because I'd be like, you know what, if he was Walter White, he would have beat the shit out of this guy.
I got a little bit about that on... they have a website on Just About TV that screens certain movies. So, you know, I caught a little bit about it, you know, on there. So I was like, no, I wasn't really impressed and stuff right here. So I missed my chance to watch it. I'll pass on it.
You're not missing much, really.
Nah.
Just a special effects piece. It really is. It's just, plus Jessica Biel, I don't even think she's trying it.
No, she's not.
No, she's not. She's like, I've been looking for you. Really?
I've been looking for you. It's almost like the same kind of thing as G.I. Joe. You know, if you like action, adventure, and cool stuff, go see G.I. Joe. If you want a good movie with great acting, don't go see this movie. It's like, you know, you get what you pay for and stuff.
At least with G.I. Joe Retaliation, it was stupid fun. I mean, it's just like when you have RZA showing up as the Blind Master, you know it's going to be cheesy. You're like, shit, fuck this. Just do it.
You learn your lesson with the man with the iron fist. It's like,
yeah. I still like Man with the Iron Fist. I don't give a shit. That movie was fun.
Okay,
I don't care.
Which reminds me, how was the uncut version of that movie?
What, Man with the Iron Fist?
Yes.
It's bloodier, but it's nothing over the top. It's just, you know, it's a cheesy kung fu flick with that RZA had in mind. It doesn't make much sense, and I'm still trying to figure out why RZA himself was in it, but it's a good time. I thought Russell Crowe was great in it.
Yeah.
And plus, you know, Batista actually gets to act like a menacing villain rather than somebody from WWE, so, you know, there you go.
There's a lot. That was pretty much an all-star cast with a lot of either well-known martial artists, and also actors. You have Kung Lee, you had Steve Yeun, you had Lucy Liu, you had, you know, of course, Russell Crowe, and of course, there is in there, but it's just a bunch of different people right there.
I mean, it was a schlock. I mean, the thing is this, you accepted...
It's Shaw Brothers.
As you accept a good kung fu flick, right? I mean, if you go into it looking for something that makes sense, you're not going to get it. Because, like, you're going to get your arms cut off and then replaced by metal fists and they're going to work like your regular fist. Yeah, that's magic. Sure. Okay, whatever. But, you know, if you go into it expecting just a stupid good kung fu time with some decent tunes, then, yeah, you'll have fun with it.
I agree.
Yeah.
It was a fun movie to watch.
Now, didn't Black Keys actually do the music for that?
One of the songs.
One of the songs, okay. One of the songs. And the rest was RZA.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What were you saying? Well, I know Lonnie was...
I don't know anymore.
Well, we were on the subject of Roger Ebert passing away.
Oh, well, I was probably saying that the cancer was affecting his mind when he was talking to
you. Total Recall?
Yeah, Total Recall.
Maybe he just...
If we're going to talk about good, bad movies, let's talk about Retaliation. God.
More or less, my concept is the throne is up for, to, you know, jockey court. So more or less, I'm game for taking over that area.
I'm just hoping G.I. Joe Retaliation actually made Cobra Commander look like Cobra Commander instead of that god awful.
Yeah.
I like that first movie.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt, yeah, I know.
And until the end with that mask, I'm like, what? What? What?
I'm really your friend's. I'm really your girlfriend's brother. Hi, everybody. Yeah, I mean, that's the one thing I enjoyed about this. It's just this movie was more in the regular tone of G.I. Joe. It was stupid at times, but, you know, it's like that whole mountain battle was awesome. I really liked the mountain battle.
Me
that
too.
Was great.
That was the highlight of the film.
That was really good. I mean, the 3D was kind of useless, but I thought, you know, the movie was fun for what it was. And
yeah.
Throwing Bruce Willis in the middle of all that, playing Bruce Willis, he's like, how you doing? Well, my cholesterol's a little high, otherwise I'm shooting everything.
It's Patton's gun. It's Patton's gun.
And plus, I mean, how great was Jonathan Pryce playing the bad guy playing the president? He was great in that. I had a good time nuking your city. Yeah.
Yeah.
You got 3 minutes. Decide now. Okay, we're spoiling certain scenes.
Yeah, anyway, okay. Well, let's move on. We can move on back to games, I guess.
I mean, what is left to talk about in games? Well, how about quickly, DCD? What was something that really shot out at you at the GDC?
God, you know what? I'll tell you what didn't shoot out at me. Kojima finally revealing that the Phantom Pain is Metal Gear Solid 5. The writing was on the wall from a mile away with that. Come on. We knew that was coming, but it is an intriguing-looking game. I'm interested in seeing how it turns out. But it doesn't look like it's next-gen, which is kind of weird.
I hope so, because I think that would be one game that makes me want to buy a PS4, like, on day one. The game probably might not even be out on day one. I'm a huge Metal Gear Solid fan. It's just seeing that, it's just the combination of those two ideas right here. I don't know what's going to be the start, what's going to be the middle, what's going to be the end, but it just different definitions and everything right here. But I'm not happy the fact that they actually fired the original the original actor who's been playing
David Hayter
not being the voice of Snake anymore and just hiring somebody new and complete, and the fact that they didn't even ask him. It's like, you know, it's
like a middle finger to him.
Yeah, it's sort of like when they got rid of Michael Ironside for Splinter Cell. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Like, let's get Nolan North, because he's only Nathan Drake. Yeah, let's get him.
Yeah.
See, now, if they get somebody like Troy Baker, I might understand. Because Troy Baker kicked ass in Bioshock Infinite.
Agreed.
Did such a good job with Booker. So, you know, it's like, if they pick an actor who can really bring, like, Snake's dedication in this new game, I understand. But, of course, a lot of people are going to be upset. You know, they're going to be like, you know, I miss David Hayter.
Yeah,
he's just such a recognizable voice. Yeah. Like, you know, like a Keith David kind of voice, where you just know you hear, and you're like, oh, it's that guy who played Spawn, and
it's
all these
like
other great movies and stuff.
It's like John Benjamin. Every time you hear his voice, it's like, oh my god, it's Coach McGurk, it's Sterling Archer. There's those new Coke commercials that come out, and it's John Benjamin narrating.
He would be great as Snake, I think. Yeah, okay, hey, I'm going to go after Ocelot.
Did anybody see the season 3 premiere of Archer, where he was playing Bob from Bob's Burgers?
Yes.
That was awesome. That did anybody see the first part of the season finale where they brought in the kids'
and
voices? The new character? Yeah. Hunt.
Captain Murphy.
Yeah.
Oh, that shit crazy. Oh, we were talking about C-Lab on the way back from the Evil Dead. The whole, she's so cute, I just want to fuck her in the face part.
What? What? Say it again. I just heard.
Remember the episode
face.
Of C-Lab where it's like
they're blue. She didn't say anything about it. She just said, "Oh, that thing's so cute. I want to fuck it in the face."
The gloops.
They're the little glowing ball things. They're kind of making furry ball things there.
So another thing I saw at GDC, I don't know if we're changing subjects or not. Battlefield 4. They actually showed it in a big theater presentation for us.
Now did they show the PC version?
Yeah, that's what I'm guessing, because it was like press E to cut off your leg or whatever. Yeah, that's PC. So it's not a surprise, but I do like what DICE is doing with the engine. But by the same token, they didn't show anything for multiplayer, which I thought would be the big draw. Because, you know, like when you play Battlefield, you automatically think multiplayer, because who plays the single-player story shit mode?
Not really.
I like the single-player mode in Battlefield 3, but it was just too short. I bet you they're going to make up for that in Battlefield 4.
Mm-hmm.
Now, will they be able to actually have more than 16 players in the multiplayer?
They didn't say. I hope so, but they didn't say.
That sucks. You know, it's still a certain question that you need answers to just to sleep at night sometimes when you love games so much.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. But one final question about GDC. What disappointed you greatly?
What disappointed me?
Yeah.
Well, besides getting sick, let's see. I gotta say, some of the parties were a little out of hand. Like, you guys heard about the Yezen party where, like, these girls were scantily clad and everything, and then the next day, like, a few people resigned as a result because they were kind of embarrassed by it.
Yep.
And then Curse's party was nothing. Well, no, I wouldn't say Curse's party. Wargaming party, sorry. I thought of the shitty Curse party at PAX East. No, the Wargaming party was nothing but a nonstop rave. I mean, it was fun, but it was just like, you had a dude throwing out glow sticks without a care in the world. You know, you had, like, it was just madness. I don't know. I think the parties go a little out of control. Personally, I think that more parties should be like Mad Cats. Mad Cats do this fun little thing at the Chieftain, which is a good Irish bar, by the way, while we're still talking about accents. And it was really cool. It was just laid back. We got to try out the Mad Cat controllers and everything. And then they always give out the greatest swag in the world. They gave away like a rat mouse that was worth like $150. They gave out the copies of Omerta for Xbox 360. Whoa, okay. I guess
somebody made a point.
I mean, they get out all this cool swag and everything. I mean, more companies should take their example. Just have a nice, kickback, relaxed sort of party.
Yeah.
Because look what happened with the Curse party. Did you guys try to go to the Curse party?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was fucking let down. Like, you get one free drink, and then if you're VIP, you have to wait longer to get drinks in the VIP section than you would in the regular line. It was just kind of fucked all the way around. So.
Yeah, apparently the Curse party last year was so awesome.
It was like, awesome.
Just from what I
mean, this year, let's go to a hotel. This will make sense.
Like, so many people wanted to go there. Like, literally, it's like, you know, we ran to me and King Baby Duck ran to Danielle from the King of Nerds and one of my favorite video streaming Let's Play channels on Twitch.tv. Video Games Awesome was actually there at the party. I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. I missed it? Son of a bitch. But it's like a lot of people just showed up. It seemed like what you guys did. You showed up and then you were like, this party's late. Later.
You know what? We should have just gone to the Whiskey Priest. We should have gone to Whiskey Priest because I heard like Fred Well from oh shit, I forgot the name of it. Pwned. He's from Pwned. And like Drinking Quest was there. They were going to the Whiskey Priest. And that almost seemed like a better idea than trying to go to a cramped Curse party. I should have just gone to that instead.
Yeah. Probably.
But the Mad Cats party was fun at PAX East and, you know, hanging with you guys during the podcast. In case you guys didn't hear it, we all appeared on Electric Sisterhood about a couple of weeks ago and had a great podcast with Marcia Webb from the Mommy Gamers and a couple other people, Bobby Blackwolf. You know, we had a great podcast where we talked about tentacle porn and poop in a boot and stuff.
Yeah.
It sounds better than it is.
It does. It does. We're kind of running short on time right now. So why don't we cut off right here. Is that okay, guys?
That's fine.
Okay. Oh, right, good night, so, then.
sorry.
It's okay.
Goodbye.
But let's do our quick little things where we remind people where to check all our shit out. So remember, for the recent news of podcast episodes and videos featuring members of the Boston Bands Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you want to write into us, our email address is thebastards@bossandbashbrigade.com. I'm on Twitter at king_baby_duck. Blonic is under Blonic. And you can follow us on bthcrew.tumblr.com as well.
We're also on facebook.com/bossandbashbrigade. Yeah, so you just...
That's a mouthful.
To the top part.
That is.
Thing, and you just do it that way. Also, we're on YouTube, and we've been putting up a ton of shit. And I still haven't reached 100 video views on one of them yet, which is about 72 views. It's on 72 views, and I want 30. I want about like 30 views right now.
All right,
next.
JC, why don't you do your thing?
Well, you can find me at twitter.com/thedcd. I'm also on Facebook, Robert Workman. You can look up my YouTube channel. I do video reviews. I just reviewed Ninja Gaiden 3, Razor's Edge, and Bioshock Infinite. YouTube.com/thedcd1, as it sounds. And you can find my articles over there at GameZone, Tech News Daily, and Prima Games. I keep very busy. Also, I'm handsome. Thank you.
That's a sexy man right there.
The man. And thanks for having me on, guys. It's always a pleasure doing podcasts with you, even if my voice is gone or, you know, we're talking about tentacle porn again.
Yes. J.C. Reilly, do your thing as well.
Hi, I'm John C. Reilly. I produce podcasts for a living, and I'm a Navy nerd. But you can find me on Facebook, John C. Reilly, just like the actor, well, not spelled like the actor, R-I-L-E-Y, and also I run The Later Show with John and Matt, which is a Facebook fan page right there. You can find me on Twitter at Jacedown, J-A-C-E-D-O-W-N. And also coming soon, the YouTube page for Jacedown, where I'm going to show the old podcast that I used to do. And going to bring, because I'm not really happy about how Justin.TV is actually hosting the videos. So all the videos that I do as far as The Later Show and Johnny Come Lately and all the Let's Plays that I do, we're going to be on the YouTube page, and I'm sexy.
All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us on the show. We hope you had a blast. We'll definitely have you guys on again sometime in the near future.
Yes, thank you very much, King Baby Duffin, for inviting me onto the podcast yet again. So it's a pleasure.
So until next time, this is King Baby Duffin.
John C. Riley,
ECD,
saying the balcony is closed.
Oh, I'm not doing things.